Aussie music is something to be proud of.
Wear it like a badge.
Because it's Australian bands and artists that are the influences of so many other musicians the world over. So at Triple M,
we're proud to be able to showcase the power of the Aussie music scene.
Paying both homage to the greats that have stood the test of time, right alongside the current, the emerging, the future influences.
The ones that will be next to make their mark on the global music scene.
If it's Aussie and it rocks, it's right here. This is Triple M's Homegrown with Matty O.
Yes, right around the country on the Triple M network. That is 49 stations and on the Listener app. We welcome back to the show a frontman from an amazing Australian band, making us proud right around the world. No surprise, catchy songs, clever songwriting, amazing production. You've heard the song. Tracks like Tasmania. Hang a Cross on Me. Take Me Avalon. And We're Loving Neon River. We welcome to Triple M's Homegrown, of course, from Pond, the one and only Nicholas Albrook in Melbourne, man. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you. I love that intro.
Oh,
that
mate, you're more than welcome. Hey, did you live in Melbourne for a little bit along the journey?
Yeah.
How long was that for?
Like 2 years.
Yeah, nice.
I was in Preston.
Yeah, nice, man.
Yeah. Apparently, it's all getting real nice.
It is. It used to be quite feral.
I need to see that.
Yeah. What's it like coming back to spots like this where you've lived, or like places that you played a lot? Do you find yourself visiting like old restaurants and stuff that you used to go to when you live here? Like, do you see the old house?
Yeah. Well, I don't go to Dean Street in Preston because it's too far.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's a never-ending discussion about the price of Enlees.
Just keeps
going.
Yeah. And also, you've done a bit of touring as well. What we're loving. Solo stuff. Jackie, of course, you're in the States for a little bit last year, playing some solo shows. How do you go doing those shows overseas and playing, like?
Oh, it's great. It's different when you're doing solo stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as, I don't know, there's not that beholden to the group dynamic thing where you're all walking around in a tight little huddle pointing at restaurants and stuff like that. You're sort of just sat basically alone.
Yeah.
So it's like calm, but possibly a bit lonely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not dark.
Yeah.
You're just like, you know, it's just less fun.
Because you perform by yourself as well. Do you have a band with you, or you kind of?
Nah, I did it by myself.
Nice.
It's just the coin.
It's expensive now, right?
People over there, it's just hectic.
Yeah. What's it like kind of, I saw like some footage from those shows, and you get a lot of Pond fans there as well that kind of embrace the solo stuff. It must be so nice to go to the other side of the world. You're playing your solo stuff and you've got these fans that have kind of been with you from day dot.
Oh man, there is nothing more moving. Honestly, it's like seeing when people actually came to my solo show in LA and it was full and they were enjoying it. I was so touched.
Like, yeah.
It never gets old. I promise. It's just still so good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is it hard to put together a stage show when it's just you, like knowing what instruments to play and kind of piecing it out?
Yeah, because I wrote a bunch of the solo album on piano and so I had to sort of bring along like a sample pad and my guitar and my guitar effects and like a piano and sort of jumping around between them. And
it's
a bit of a pain in the ass.
You find that like those solo shows, like there's a lot of pressure on like the banter as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's a skill set in itself, right?
Yeah. Well, the first one in New York, like I guess a lot of people will be familiar with like the jet lag from Perth to New York is obscene.
Tell us about the flight. Tell us about the route, the flight, and the time difference.
I don't even know, man. I mean, you're in just like a float. You know, you're in a flying sardine can, and then you wake up and feel like hell.
Yeah.
But so my bands, in New York was trash. Yeah. And it made me feel like a dumb. And then LA was better because I'd had some time to get my equilibrium.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Do you find that you're doing any writing on those trips, or is it just kind of good to switch that part of your brain off when you're on the road?
Yeah, nah, not really. I think you're just a bit too depleted. But I did have a bit of time off and did some sort of studio work in LA.
Cool.
So you gotta drag it out. But nah, most of my writing happens when I'm feeling really comfortable at home.
Yeah, of course, man. Do you find, I was just having a look at your tour schedule, between 2017 and 2020, you guys went to over 18 countries and you played 164 gigs. Was it good to have a bit of a break?
That's amazing statistics. Yeah. Thanks.
It was busy, hey?
Yeah. No, honestly, like having a big break, because everyone had to have a break with COVID and stuff. Like it changed my life. Yeah. I saw the full cycle of the seasons from one house for the first time in like 20 years or something. I don't know. So I saw like, you know, the like winter grass come up and all that stuff. And it was like really, really novel to me. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing. Isn't nature amazing?
Did you get to a point where you were just like, man, because I've spoken to a lot of people and they were the same, because you're right, it's just so full on. Like they almost were a bit reluctant to go on touring again. Like obviously when you're a musician, it's, you know, financial. There's a lot that kind of relies on it to go out and do that. But were you a bit hesitant to kind of get back out there at the same time?
Yeah, well, I know what you mean. I also saw a lot of other people who had a similar experience, which is kind of like messed with your head a bit where you're away from, you're not seeing the face-to-face, you're not getting the face-to-face feedback with crowds and stuff. So something in your brain is like, I think it's over. Like it doesn't matter what it says on, you know, on your phone or like Spotify plays or streams or whatever. If you don't actually engage with human beings face-to-face, you basically think that it's all over.
Yeah, totally.
So like you start, you know, start grappling with the idea that, oh, right, okay, maybe I'm a gardener from now on.
Yeah, totally.
And then it all finished and it was like, all right, fellas, back on tour. And it's like, what, really? Yeah. I thought it was all over.
And then like to go from doing nothing and like maybe like an Australian gigs like Weekend Warrior stuff, but how was the States tour? Because I was looking at your tour schedule for that and pretty constant, almost every night.
Yeah, it's tough. I sing with really bad technique, so I absolutely blow my voice out. Like when it's back to back.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Man, if I treated it, I don't know. it's like if you were, you know, if you're a footy player, I don't know. Like,
no, I get it.
Like just going head first into the most like brutal situations and then doing it like every day.
Yeah.
But like it's no wonder I blow my voice out, because I just something in my head is like, well, if I don't leave the stage completely wrecked, then I haven't really like done my job.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it's really hard to sort of temper your...
Yeah, and it's like it's the factors around it too, like the lack of sleep, the not eating and eating correctly. And I was just saying before off mic, you do a podcast, Run to Paradise, which is cool because I think it's like, you know, you're really kind of focusing on, you know, the mental health aspect and why running's been good for you, as well as not only mentally but creatively too, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's just a bit of a, I think you just need those times, whether it's running or anything. Everyone's got their own little thing, but just to have something that's kind of personal for you that you can get away from everyone else, get away from your phone, you know, like
totally,
and just be concentrating on something really, really, really simple for like an hour.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
And it must be good to be kind of back in Perth, back in the studio. So you guys got your own studio in Frio, is it?
Yeah, we got Dream Dust, which is named because it had a little bit of asbestos on the thing.
Okay.
And Gum didn't want to use it until it got tested.
Fair.
So now it's called the Dream Dust.
Gotcha.
But that's sort of slowly becoming a storage unit now.
With everyone's schedules.
Yeah, and the better everyone's home studios get,
yeah,
the
of
more
course,
the collective one just gets turned into a pile of junk.
I was going to say, like, what is the kind of process now? How much has it changed since the start, as far as everyone kind of having their own space?
Oh, so much. I mean, we all used to live in a share house and record on this little Boss Digital 8-track. But now it's like, you know, Jay's got a really, really nice studio in his garage.
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Oh, man, it's lovely.
Yeah, it looks really high tech.
And he's just got like, it's perfect for us because it's like, it's not every bit of gear you can ever imagine. It's just a couple of choice little fun toys, weird old phaser or something.
Nice. Yeah. You know? Kind of good to have less is more in a space. Otherwise, it just spirals out of control, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it.
Do you guys need a deadline when you're kind of writing for an album? I guess you got to kind of plan everything in advance, right?
Yeah. Nah, we're pretty good.
Nice.
We're pretty good with it. I think it's just like, I mean, with this one, I think they just wanted to finish mixing it as quickly as they possibly could because the last album just blew out with like...
Oh, did it?
Just getting way too involved in mixing, and it took months and months and months and months, and then months started getting close to a year.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, it's not Chinese democracy, but
Well, dude, it's super exciting for you guys and your fans, man. Like we're getting a brand new album, and you know, you're doing some huge shows as well: Princess Theatre in Brizzy, Metro in Sydney, Northcote Theatre in Melbourne, two nights at Frio Social. It must be great to kind of, you know, be able to play new songs in spaces like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm so gassed to play the new songs. It really, it brings me so much joy.
I was going
to
say.
And there's some good rockers in there as well, which is real fun to let loose live, you know.
Man, it must be getting hard to pick a set list.
It is actually, yeah. It's getting pretty tough. But it's good. That's why the headline tours are pretty... I mean, they're brutal, but like it's really good because you can just kind of play whatever you want.
Yeah, do what you want.
Yeah.
How's touring with Queens? Have you had much to do with them before?
A little bit. Yeah. I've met the crew and stuff, but this is our first like run with them, and it's so good. They are like the nicest people in rock and roll.
Yeah, nice.
Hey, they're so lovely. Yeah, and it's just a good atmosphere. Gut Health, the band opening
for
the
course,
whole
thing,
are absolutely incredible, and also the other nicest people in rock and roll.
Yeah, sweet.
So it's just like a real, sort of traveling family.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
Is New Zealand too? You guys going to this? Yeah, sweet. What's it like playing shows over there?
Oh, it's wicked.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Just like us, except the servos have like different names.
Yeah, man. When we got confirmation that you were coming in, we let people know online, and a couple of them wanted to send in a few questions.
Oh, wicked!
If you'd be keen to answer, and I'm actually keen to hear this one too. This is involving. Now we know that you're all diehard Freo Dockers fans. That's no secret, which is awesome. So I actually want to know, what's the best Freo game you've watched at the stadium? And what's the best Freo game you've watched, maybe on your phone or on a laptop, traveling overseas? Are there any games that stick to mind?
Oh, man. I wish Gum was here because he's got such a better memory for it.
But the
one where they qualified it for the grand final.
Oh, were you guys there?
No, we were here.
Oh.
And I honestly think it was one of the best moments of
my life. Good, right? Yeah.
I was so happy. I was like crying.
Yeah.
That was a ripper. I think I went to one at the stadium recently where they beat Geelong, which really...
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, God, it was good.
Man,
I mean, like, I used to... Like, I don't mind Geelong, but they just... For a Freo fan where we're, like, so continually bad, Geelong annoys me just because it's like, yeah, of course we won, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
A winning team. We have a winning culture. It's like, God damn it, we're a losing team with a losing culture. Like, even when we're good, we still somehow manage to be bad.
Yeah.
But then, that felt really good.
Man, it must be cool. Like, it kind of different here. Like, Optus Stadium seems sick. I've never been there before, but it looks unreal.
Yeah, it's a full it's like a mini G.
Yeah.
It's like we call it the cray pot.
The cray pot.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a big Colosseum.
Yeah. Nice, man. We got another question from Christine, who says hello. She's a Melbournian now living in Bali, and she wants to know if you guys could record in any location around the world, where would it be?
Oh, man. Well, the joke was Seabird, a bit north of Perth.
Why is that one?
Oh, it was just like, it was like the West Australian dream come true.
Yeah.
Just the only colours were like white and blue.
Really?
And there was a great pub with like plastic chairs that you could pull out.
Yeah.
And basically nothing else, just like retirees.
Really?
And we were like, man, wouldn't it be great to record an album in Seabird? Just really soak up the retiree vibe.
How many people live there?
I don't know. Probably none.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like the French backpackers who are pulling pints. I'd
yeah,
say.
Nice, man. Yeah. We've got Mike. Greetings from Hong Kong. He met you guys, I hope, the Clock and Fap Festival 5 years ago. And who was on that? Prodigy, we had the Dandies too. And Massive Attack. Any memories from that, playing in Hong Kong?
Yeah, I do remember.
How was that one?
It was cool. Yeah, it was fun. It was like a big festival, you know, so there's a lot of concrete. But I remember mainly, I bought some knockoff Rihanna Fenty slides in Malaysia the day before. So I remember really feeling myself like going to that gig because I had my like, my high fashion slides, cost me about $2.
$2, Do you remember seeing any of the headliners, any of those bands on stage as well? You probably had to bail then, right?
I think we bailed, yeah. I cannot remember what we did. But I remember walking around Hong Kong. That was a trip.
Yeah, nice.
Unbelievable,
man.
Yeah.
Another one of those as well. We've got Tony in Hawthorne, which is just around the corner from here. Said he saw you at Coachella. Of course, Lady Gaga was there that year. Radiohead 2. Stroke just went viral. Right stroke, we love Kendrick on Triple M. any memories from that Coachella performance?
Well, we've done it a bunch.
Yeah, nice.
So I can't really remember which one it was.
I think it was 2017.
Oh, wow, God.
So that's over... It's always been over 2 weekends, right? Or is that a...
I'm not sure. Yeah. Probably not back in the day.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing Kendrick.
Yeah, nice.
There. I'm a big fan.
Any favorite like Coachella memories? It seems awesome. I've never been.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Fun. I mean, yeah, it's always just really. I think when we first started going there with Tame, that was like mind blowing.
Yeah,
because you're young and suddenly you're like important.
Yeah,
and like you know, being ushered into like VIP areas and people want to actually like talk to you and stuff
That.
And we just, I think we were having a real great time. And it was all sunny and people giving us free piss and stuff. And we're like, wee.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know. I think we've always had a great time. Like, also in between Coachella, like just around that Joshua Tree zone, like going and exploring the desert and stuff. Like we had a full band and some partners and stuff bonding Joshua Tree experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We're all kind of Triple E roaming through the desert and stuff.
That is so
and
fun.
I climbed up this massive big rock everyone was really worried, but I didn't know at the time. But I think that was probably my best Coachella experience, actually. That was great.
And that must be cool to do like shows like that on an American tour because you'd have that week off. So you actually get to kind of enjoy yourself, like you were
fully.
Saying.
Yeah. And sometimes you go and play at Pappy and Harriet's, the little like Western bar outside Palm Springs. And that seems to be a thing that a lot of people do. They go and like,
oh, like secret shows and stuff.
Yeah, and it looks like the type of place where it would just be like, you know, some country dude like strumming his guitar, but then it'll be like Floating Points or
us. Yeah.
So it's really fun, yeah.
We've got Rick in Queensland. He went to St. Jerome's recently and heard, which I think we've spoken about this before, and wants to know about the award that is named after you that he heard from one of the people working there. Can you explain your St. Jerome's Laneway Award?
I can't believe that he heard it from someone else that wasn't me. That's so cool. Well, yeah, shout out the St. Jerome's crew for holding to their word. That's amazing. Yeah, I don't know. I think I played it like 12 times in a row or something.
Different
bands. Like I drummed for Peter Bibby and played bass in Tame and then did Pond. And then, like, I think I did a solo one.
Nice.
And then the cycle started again.
You're a Hall of Famer. You're essentially a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but we were sort of joking about how it's going to be the Nick Albrook Award for most laneways played.
Gee, if there's any festival in Australia that played 12 times, it's that one, right?
Yeah. Someone must have beaten it by now.
We'll check.
Surely.
We'll check for next time that you're on. Also, we had Mick. He wants to know, what's one Australian album you could listen to on repeat and one song? And I've actually got some audio from the last time you were here. I want to know if it's changed.
For all time, I suppose, like Forgotten Years by the Mighty Oils.
Yeah, good one, man. That's a good one. Yeah.
Anything by the Mighty, Mighty Oils.
Still on the Oils?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but a little bit proud as well.
Cool.
I think, like, I have to spend, because I moved on to Head Injuries, one of their really early albums, and that just completely ruined me. So I listened to that for like, you know, for like 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And then realized I'd never actually dived into 10 to 1. And I think the moment when the first song from 10 to 1 goes into, Only the Strong, is one of the best drops in Australian musical history.
have you ever seen him live?
Yeah.
I've never seen him live. Oh, that would have been a cool spot to see them.
I mean, they're ridiculous. They make everyone else look like trash, basically.
Yeah. Outside World into Only the Strong.
Only the Strong, yeah. That's it. Yeah. When I'm lost in my room.
Hey, man, we know you're in a bit of a hurry. You're running around today. We're going to do one more quick game with you. We did this last time.
On Triple M's Homegrown with Matty-O, it's time for...
It's Right Party or Dinner.
So this is called Right Party Dinner. I'm going to give you three acts that have actually been picked by Pond fans. And what you've got to do is you've got to write a song with one of these bands, party with the next, and the third you've got to write a song with. So write, party, and dinner.
Okay,
your three acts. Number one, Madonna. Number two, Bruce Springsteen. Third, Taylor Swift. Write, party, dinner, Madonna, Bruce, and Taylor. What are we doing?
Oh, I'd have to party. I guess I'd party with Madge.
Yeah.
She seems like real fun.
Yeah.
Fun Italian gal.
Yeah.
Madge would be great fun.
Writing.
I guess the boss.
Yeah.
Wait, dinner.
Dinner with Taylor. What do you want to write with Taylor?
Oh, I'll write with Taylor, actually. Yeah. I reckon she'd write, you know, she obviously knows her way around writing
Yeah.
So I'd probably just sit around and, like, I don't know, drink my juice in the corner or whatever, and she can just go to town.
And then get ready for dinner with Boosh.
Yeah.
Well, you probably end up writing a song anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he'll just do it. And he'll probably be, you know, it'll probably turn into like a 4-hour dinner if he gives it all the juice of his...
Hey, Nick, thanks so much for swinging by, man. We're so excited about this album. Congrats on all the touring, all the solo stuff as well. It's so great to see you guys out there playing shows. We love you. We love you on this show. And it's good to see you again, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, Maddie. Really appreciate it. Man, that was clean.